Kind of a cloudy morning, rainy. Sure was some nice days there for a little bit, but didn't seem to last for long, did it? Title of the message is Treasured Moments of Solitude. And I'm going to read, continue in Mark 1:35-39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to a nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The title of we're going to talk about solitude today. So if we're small in numbers, surely we can share a little bit of something about it. But as usual, I'm going to start off with a little story. Hopefully it'll make you laugh, but maybe not. A psychiatrist said this, "Why can't you sleep at night?" The patient said, "Because I've been trying to solve all the world's troubles." "Have you ever got them solved?" "Almost every time." "Then why can't you sleep?" "Because the ticker tape parade they hold for me keeps me awake." Kind of self-indulged and a little bit of a kind of self-gratitude of himself, think a little bit more of himself than he should. Solitude, it's good for the soul. Albert Einstein said this, "I live in that solitude which is painful in youth, but delicious in the years of maturity." I can remember when I was young, I didn't want to sit around. I wanted to be busy going here, going there. I didn't want to spend time myself. But as I get older, yeah, it's not so bad to stand there and look out the window in the back and watch the deer and the animals. It's much more easier for me to sit in a chair than it once was. Solitude gives us, there's five that I'm going to look at real quick. It's we find when we go into solitude, We find ways to unwind, to maybe think about things we don't normally think about. We get to be alone and to understand our world, or the world in which each one of us are living in. Time alone allows us to step back in our life and maybe see the good things and see the differences that are happening in our lives. There are four that I'm going to look at, and this happened to be five altogether, but I'm going to mention that one. I didn't realize that it applied a little bit more than I thought. But the first one is we find peace in solitude. When we're alone, we have time to appreciate the smaller things in life. I like sitting in the porch, looking out over the field, taking time to contemplate, go for a walk with my dog. I find that to be very my time of solitude, one of my forms of solitude, because I think there's many different kinds. We seem to be so busy to enjoy what is in front of us, a simple walk. We don't have to have grandiose things. We don't have to, buy equipment. We can just simply go for a walk. And if you can't walk, well, then you can stand in or sit and contemplate. Look out the window. Observe. Watch the world. I seem to see the world through a windshield quite a bit. Sometimes I like to just stop and just see the world around me. I pull into a truck stop. I just kind of stop and look around. It's amazing what activity you'll see. You take a pause and stop. Yeah, sometimes it's not always interesting, but it's kind of interesting watching people. I don't mind watching people. I find that to be an interesting thing. Solitude changes our perspectives. The outside world, and then while we're also in the inside world, which is within us, we can share a more gratitude with the universe, and in the presence we can find instead of running around in our busy lives all the time. Number two, it heals your wounds. Unwinding allows your emotions to let them heal. Taking time to just stop. If you're getting angry all the time and you're upset all the time, it's usually suggested to stop and take a pause. Reset. A lot of people nowadays find other ways of dealing with their negative experiences. They turn to drugs, substance abuse, all kinds of different ways. We all know about them. There's a big problem with people trying to cover up their wounds, and they do it with drugs and alcohol, eating. I mean, there's all kinds of ways in which we can cover up the wounds in which we have. We don't necessarily want to share them, and we don't really want to. A lot of us don't like to deal, don't like to look within ourselves and observe our own selves. That's hard to do. A lot of times we bury them in our subconscious, and eventually they come back out again in a more harsh way. When we take time alone, we have time to process these thoughts and bring them to the surface. Sooner or later, most of us will have to deal with what we depressed or compressed down inside. Only when we begin to unwind can the soul and you heal. We're learning now that a lot of diseases are connected to what a disturbance that may have happened, emotional disturbances that happen. We compress them down inside, and there's a physical manifestation of them, and we are sick. We get sick from it. The one that I was going to avoid was energy draining people. I didn't really want to deal too much with that. But when I put an X to it, and soon after that, I said, all these other thoughts started coming in. So I guess X marks the spot, I guess. I don't know. But sometimes when you spend a lot of time with the wrong people, they drain you, you know, in various different ways. They drain your energy out of you. You don't feel like you have much strength anymore. There's supposedly people that will steal your energy. And I've probably run across a few of them. But I think if you are more self-centered, have yourself centered, you have a way of a defense against that. Did Jesus feel drained? I think next Sunday I'm going to deal a little more with the emotion part of it. But I think Jesus definitely felt drained many times. And I think in this beginning of this text, he went off because he was up late. And then he got up the next morning again very early. And so he had time. He had to take time in solitude and go out early in the morning before it was daylight to spend time communicating with God. Talk about that a little bit more. You get to know yourself. There's no better time than to sit down alone with yourself and learn a little something about yourself. Sometimes I don't always want to know what I really am. You know, putting a mirror in front of me and saying, okay, oh, yeah, oh, I don't know. No, I ain't right. Nah. Someone will tell you something and you say, no. I mean, there's no better time than to sit down and to contemplate who we really are. In the case of my story, the guy obviously thought he was a little more grander than what he thought. Even in his dreams, he had a ticker tape parade. So, I mean, he was thought himself, absorbed himself up to a real high place. The reality is that we are humans. Many of us have many good things, but I think sometimes we need to stop and just kind of get real with ourselves. Solitude brings out the reflection in us, as what I talked about. We learn to reflect and we learn. We may feel more comfortable after you contemplate and spend time in solitude, and you might find that you have more confidence who you really are. I think that's definitely a good thing that comes out of solitude. You become more confident. You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses a little more, you learn them, and you can go out into the world with more clarity and purpose of life. I think that is something that comes out of it. But for most of us, especially myself, I need lots of time by myself and to think, and I do. And when I drive, I have lots of time by myself. But I certainly enjoy company with other people, with my wife and my family. I don't get enough of that. I think as I get older, I would like to spend more time with other people than with just myself. I'm getting bored with myself. So Not really, but you know, sometimes that's true. You find yourself bored. Being alone helps you to be yourself. That is probably true. It connects to your higher self or God. Quiet time is like when Jesus was off contemplating in the very beginning of the scripture. He was connecting with God and being able to talk and to communicate. Because of all the chatter that's in our minds, sometimes we don't, that blocks out the inner self. We don't hear our inner voice within ourselves, when to say, okay, that's enough. I have learned over the years, even though I fail many times, to pay attention to that inner voice. Turn this way, do this, stop here, do this. You're getting out of line, you know? Yes.
Sometimes you get too much solitude, you gotta go do something.
That's true. I agree with you, Dan. I think there's a lot of people here. I mean, you've lost your wife. You have a lot of time together and that by yourself, and that can be harmful too. I think you can get into depression, and so there's always this balance between all of it. I think. I think at some point in time, whichever Colleen and I pass first, the other one is going to be left in a more of a solitude state, and I'm not sure. How much of that is really good? I think you need to be engaged. I think it's very good to be engaged in some form or another. I'm glad you still come to church, Dan. I'm sure you do other things, Dick, but it's very important. I think church, if nothing else, if that's all you get out of church, is a social event, that's great. I expect you to, not everybody contemplates scripture and maybe the way I do or some other people here do. So if it's merely just a social event, that's okay. I'm not against that at all. I think it's very important. I think that's some of what's happening with our society around us. We're not engaged together enough. Yes.
My grandson was here with my great-granddaughter for the last 4 or 5 days, so we had plenty of time, plenty of stuff to do with her running around.
Now you're probably glad that you have a little bit of solitude next week.
How old is she, Dan?
You're 2 months later, or 2 months short, 2 years.
Almost two. That's a busy age.
So, there's a balance between the two, that's for sure.
That's what I was going to say. I think we need to find a balance.
Right, you need to have a balance, for sure. But what is disturbing to me is people who just kind of go off on their own and close the doors. I have some friends of mine, one or two, that just kind of goes off on his own and closes the door and doesn't really want to do nothing, just simply wants to be there. And even this person's daughter complains about how this individual just kind of hides over in this exclusive little by himself. And that's very harmful. I think that's very harmful to the inner self. I think we need to be engaged. That's part of being healthy in our soul. And I think, they're finding out that a lot of this stuff helps you be more healthy physically. So if you're healthy inside, you're healthy outside too. The two are connected, very much so. A stillness of the mind. The Bible says, be still and know. That was going to be my closing scripture. I'll probably use it again. But loneliness is not being alone, which is something that we tend to think that, well, if I'm alone, I'm lonely. Well, if you're friends with yourself, you're never alone to some extent. Isn't that true? I mean, to some extent, you enjoy your solitude, you enjoy yourself, you go out and do what you want to do and when you want to do it. So there's a sense of I'm alone, but not really alone. I'm lonesome. I think that's very important for an individual to develop that ability. You can be in a crowd of people and still never feel lonely. Well, this week down at Bethany, there was one time when we had a little pre-lunch gathering, and everybody seemed to be off in their own little groups, and I was all by myself. And believe it or not, I had to work it, tried to find somebody to yak to. And that's not, I can usually talk to anybody, find somebody. But I went and looked out the window, walked around and sat in a chair. And pretty soon I got somebody to talk to, and pretty soon the time was over. But, you know, I didn't really feel, I was alone, but I didn't really feel lonely. I mean, I wasn't that. And, you know, if you have the presence of God with you, you are never alone either. Being alone allows you to share in the life around us. Now we I believe that trees and you know, the environment and the animals and whatnot, there's a life that kind of speaks to you in some way. There's kind of a life. When I walk up the road with my dog, I have some pine trees and then I have some oaks. Well, the pine trees, well, a little bit of air, and it almost like somebody's talking to you. And it just like moves in the trees. And there's a lot of times I turn around and look to see what if there's somebody behind me, because there's only like a little section of pine trees, and then there's oaks and on. So there is a sense of life that if you listen, it does speak to you in a way. You know, maybe my mind's a little overactive. But, you know, when you look at and contemplate nature, there is a spirit that is alive. And I think there's sense that a sense of beingness that comes from life around us. My dog is full of life. My little Bella dog, she's jumping around and carrying around. She has a sense of it. And I can talk to her. And she, and, you know, after a while, she communicates and understands what I'm saying. Turn this way, go this way. She knows, you know, what I'm talking about. Or stop, or, you know, it's amazing how fast she learned to hear the words that I speak. But I think as I raise and lower my voice, Bob, you know how it is. Those animals, they know what you're saying, believe it or not. If I say the word treat, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. Or if I say I'm going to go for a walk, I mean, she knows immediately what. I mean, she's jumping up and down. She must know the difference between the words. Has to. Walk, treat, there's two different things. They respond differently. I mean, it's amazing how they perceive.
Carol always says that she wishes some of her students were as smart as our dog. And I'm fond of quoting Mark Twain, who once said, the more I see a people, the better I like dogs.
Yeah, When I come home, I'm very glad to see my dog. She's always happy to see me no matter what. Never grumbles and never complains. Just wants to go for a walk. Yeah.
I see in the paper where Doc appreciates you a lot more than your wife. He said, you put your wife in the trunk and open up and let her out. So I can't handle it. That's what Doc and it is.
I have to be careful saying that one for sure. But it's true, you know. The best friend of a person can have is their dog, their animal, their cat. I mean, it is. That's, you know. Oh, well. So what does the scripture have to say? When I first started to look at the scripture, this text, I wondered why it was in the Bible. That was the first question I thought about. Why is it there? It's what was it trying to tell me? Mark is supposed to be an accumulation of so said, where you can put it in your back pocket and like a quick explanation of a lot of the sayings of Jesus. It was the first book written down that we know of. Supposedly there might be one previous to this, but we don't have it. So Mark is the earliest accumulation of what Jesus did and said. And it's supposed to be like a quick book type of thing. They quickly wrote it down, and so you could be easy to, basically, I see you had to develop it out from there. So there was talking points, but yet not real in depth. But even though Mark does go into depth, but so why was the story put into the text? That was the first question I had to ask it. What was it trying to say? So the first thing that popped out to me is Jesus got up very early and went to a solitary place and prayed. So that's the title of the message. So So he spent time in a safe place communicating with God or communicating with himself. A safe place. We heard that term, safe space. That's being used nowadays in certain settings. If you want to have a particular idea expressed, you have a safe place, such as in colleges and schools, in which you can do these things. Or different types of people can come together in a safe space. So, in a sense, Jesus is going out to a safe space and thus communicating. I think solitude allows our imagination to work. Our imagination is something that I think we underuse to some degree. We are told what to think, but not necessarily how to think in a lot of different fields. And so our imaginations are stifled to some degree. We watch TV. We have all this input coming in. So it kind of kills our imagination, I think. Solitude and prayer closes the world around us off in a certain way, like a safe space. It's like a filter that goes around us. And so we can have a spot in which we can be within ourselves. Another thing that stuck out right away, Jesus started his day in prayer. I pray over my coffee every day. I thank God for the cup of coffee that I'm drinking. I'm a coffee drinker. I have to have my coffee before I can contemplate a whole lot. I mean, I can function, but I like my coffee. And so that gives me a time to sit, even in my daily life in my truck. I'll sit and drink my coffee before I go to work, at least most of it. That's my time of contemplating. I can do silent prayers. I can do many different things. So in the morning, what stuck out is, I think if you're going to have a good day, you should start it off with a certain amount of solitude in which you spend time with yourself, preparing yourself for the day. So Jesus went out and prepared himself for the day. That was one of the things that stuck out. Then I asked the question, well, what's prayer? I'm kind of going to go off on a little trail here a little bit. I'm not going to get too very deep in it. But prayer is reaching out from this world to another world, is it not? Through the spiritual realm that is around us. Isn't that what prayer is about? Reaching out to God, closing off this world, and reaching out to the world beyond, or to God. If you want a science, John says that the spirit is, so said, I'll use the term medium, which is not necessarily a good biblical word, but nevertheless, it's the medium between us and God in the world. And John says the spirit communicates back and forth. If you're looking at a scientific point of view, well, you can say I've used the expression that we're more space than what we are matter. So as we close our mind off in the world around us, we go into the dark energy, dark matter, which is the space that's between all the molecules, and that's everywhere goes out and goes into the world beyond. If you want a form or a method or a scientific argument, I can somewhat do that by using that. One of the things I've learned by prayer and some of the things we say here and some of the things I learned down at Bethany, the other which I understand, is that sometimes we use traditional words that may offend or upset our solitude. Some people don't like the idea of God as a father, or because they may have had a negative an experience, or blood. We used to say the blood of Jesus. And some people who've had a really traumatic experience, when they think about some of these things we say in a normal traditional setting, don't always put people in the solitude or the solidarity that we are really trying to put them in. So, I mean, we have made an effort to say, instead of Heavenly Father, we put, what do we put? Loving God in heaven. So that was an attempt to try to make it more loving and not be offensive. I wrote a communion prayer. I need to print it out again. I don't know. It disappeared somewhere. And I need to print it out again, where I took the blood out of and it was a life. I turned the blood, because the blood is a life. I mean, that's how they understood. And I think there are things in our everyday verbiage that we use that knock people out of their solitude in which they are living in, or it becomes offensive. And I think that's kind of something we need to look at. Solitude helps us to stand alone, be individuals, comfortable with ourselves. We talked about that. Or even in a group. Even though you don't know anyone, I talked about that. The passion to learn. Okay, so we're going to move on a little bit here. I have a few more things and then that I've noticed about the text, and then I'll be done. Simon had and his companions had a lot of passion. They were wandering around wanting to know where Jesus was. Also, one of the commentaries that I wrote is that the passage was saying that Jesus was coming out. He was being an evangelist. This text tells us that he was going to be an evangelist. He wasn't just happy to be in Capernaum. He wanted to go over to Galilee. He wanted to spread the good news. So this says supports the idea of evangelism. I'm going to go over that nearby village over there. I'm done with these people. I'm going to go over here. Well, I'm not done with them, but I'll come back. But I'm going to go over there. Because the next week he comes back over again. So the idea of Jesus being an evangelist is in that text. Nowadays, you know, back then, we didn't have all the means of communication. Didn't have Facebook. Didn't have followers. And then some people who would sell our information. There wasn't all that kind of stuff going on. You had to actually walk from town to town and tell your story. So, you know, you publish a book, you put it on TV. I mean, I think nowadays you can sit on your couch and start a whole new revolution on your computer. You can generally just sit here and go. And in many different ways. So we have many different ways to communicate or to show emotions. What are the emotions? These are easily looked over. This is something I learned this week down at Bethany that I'm going to deal more with it next week, the emotions that are in the text. What better way to know ourselves than to know why we responded in a certain way? The emotion that we attach to it. Why did we do that? What fueled it? You might be bored today, but you might want to ask yourself why. I don't know. Maybe you're tired of the message, you want to go home. But knowing ourselves, we have to ask the question, why are we bored? In any given situation. I went over to the doctor's office to get my yearly physical. I was bored real quick. There was nothing to keep me, I had my phone, but you know, after a while you just get bored, you know, blah, 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 you know. That's part of our life. We get bored real easy. We want stimulus all the time. It's so easy to look at someone else and find what's fault with in someone else. But look at ourselves. Jesus says, you know, it's easy to find that speck in someone else's eye when we have a beam in our own. I think self-examination and solitude allows us to see that big beam that's in our own. And yes, and that allows us to look at other people less critical. I found as I understand myself more, I'm certainly less critical of other people, for sure. I may have an opinion, but I'm not judgmental, or at least I try not to be nearly as judgmental, and I think that's what Jesus is talking about, not being judgmental. Next week, I'm going to deal with a little more emotions and some of the things that I talked about that I learned down there, because it's Jesus expresses an emotion in next week's reading, and so I'm going to stay away from that a little bit. So I'm going to close with Psalms 10, 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I think the I here is points to the individual. For each one of us, I is you and God. Each one of us is an I in this text. And each one of us have a solitude with God. So be still and know that I am God. Amen.
This is a son, he has a mother, he is a child, maybe a brother. This is a heart for every soul in need of love to see beyond the awful things that life has done. This is a son. This is a sign. He knows how it feels to hurt. He thinks this is what he's worth. He knows we see him as the guilty and the shameless. This is a son, he has a mother, he is a child, maybe a brother. This is a heart for every soul in need of love to see beyond the awful things that life has done. This is a son. Mother in utter disbelief, and as the angry crowd screams out in hate, she whispers through her tears and through her grief, this is a son, he has a mother, he is my child, he is your brother, he has a heart beyond the awful things that you have done. This is a son, he has a mother, he is a child, maybe a brother. This is a heart for every soul in need of love to see beyond the awful things that life has done. This is a son. This is a
donations such as food pantry and the homeless shelter. and with the wider church family, the blessings that you have given us. May they be used to spread your word, to show the world